Blog Talk Radio.
Into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am so glad that you joined me again today at Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment right here at home. I want to encourage you to get your Bible and grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself right at home. We have another wonderful, wonderful lesson for you on today as we're moving forward in the things of the Lord our God. I want you to grab your Bible, and we're going to be coming out of the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, verses 4 through verse number 13. And our lesson today, thought, is the attitude of a prisoner. And this is coming from one of the letters of Apostle Paul. And we're going to take a look at some of the things about Paul's suffering. We're going to look at the persecution and also an ambassador in bonds. And then we're going to look at the letter from the prison and praising God and rejoicing always and keeping the right attitude and being content. These are some of the things we're going to explore on today. Let's take a look and let's begin by a word of prayer. Father, we take this time to bind the devil and bind the forces of darkness right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take authority over the airway. We take authority over Lord Jesus. Father, Lord, everything that will come against your pure word going forth to your people. Father, feed your people from on high. Use these lips of clay and we'll forever give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Father, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 13, and it reads on this line. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, the other scripture that we come to look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses number 10. And it reads on this wise, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, we recognize that in this world, we're going to have tribulation. And during this time, there's many things that are transpiring and taking place, even right now as I speak. We have seen the fulfillment of Scripture and manifestation of some of the end-time signs that we will be seeing during this particular time and this particular dispensation. And we must recognize and realize that we must maintain and keep a good spirit, number one, a right attitude, and rejoice and praise God in absolutely all things, not before all things, not because you are suffering at this time, not because you found yourself in a perplexed place and things, but in Christ, in God, we're going to continue to rejoice because that's our sustenance, that's our strength. That is the power that God has given us through his divine power is wrapped up in rejoicing in things. And that's not the only place in which it is exuded in, but you will find strength coming from the ability to rejoice. Whenever the enemy take your ability to rejoice from you and things, that is a horrible place because that is a place where the enemy wants to render you weak and render you paralyzed in your faith, in your ability to rejoice or even look up to God. So I encourage you on this day, as never before, is that don't ever allow your praise to diminish, but always, in all things, always be ready to give a praise unto the Lord our God, because we was created to show forth the praises unto us, our God. And so as we continue to praise, we will see the manifestation of the hand of God. Now, let's take a look at our lesson on today, further in depth, of what was going on with the Apostle Paul at this particular time. Now, this is his second epistle or letter to the believers in Corinth. And in this letter, Paul wrote, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You'll find that over in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 10. The idea of what Paul was saying is fundamentally foreign to the mindset of the modern-day Northern American culture. Take pleasure in infirmities. Now, that's mind-boggling. Who wants to take pleasure in being in suffering? Now, many people will probably respond, "You got to be kidding, right? Are you really telling me to rejoice because perhaps I found out that this dilemma is taking place or that perplexity has come upon me and you asked me to rejoice?" Well, Paul really wasn't kidding. He wasn't playing. He was very serious, absolutely serious by the fact that you need to rejoice. Now, Paul's treasure was not anchored in this world. And as we see the perplexity of the times and the stubbornness and the stiff-neckedness of things that are going on in people, we must recognize that we cannot anchor our hope in the things of the world, but I put our hope in the things of God. Now, he also discovered that a greater treasure, and he possessed a spiritual perspective that looked beyond this present life and forward to a future day when he will receive the remainder of his eternal inheritance. Now, he also had received many only earnest of his inheritance, the Holy Ghost. And based on the initial reward he had received, he knew that an unimaginable, awesome eternity laid in store for him. Now, Paul also had discovered a significant key to living a successful life in Christ Jesus. When we are weak, we discover our real strength when we come from the Lord Jesus, which comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from various places of confinement, from the house of arrest to the infamous minor time prison, Paul humbly accepted his path. Now, let's take a look at that, and let's look how revelatory that is and contextualize that for today's living on today. When you look at that, Paul knew that he had an internal reward waiting for him in heaven. He didn't grumble about his past. He didn't fight God about his path that God had already ordained and things, but he accepted that. And he went forth with the spirit of humility, and he had and maintained a right attitude as he continued to praise God in inhibiting the positive outlook on life and even doing what he could do for the Lord Jesus Christ, writing at least 5 epistles up to the New Testament from the prison. It paid to keep the right attitude through every circumstances of life. And I just want you to repeat that. You know, I'm going to keep the right attitude through this circumstance that I'm facing right now, that God's going to bring me out. And that's one of the things you have to keep using your own mouth to speak forth the word and things, because with you speaking forth the word, you're going to hear faith. You're going to build faith with your own voice, because you're speaking forth faith using your own voice. Now, Paul's suffering, and let's take a look at that. If anyone could understand the existence of human suffering in this life, surely Apostle Paul could have understood what we are going through. Now, he gave a comprehensive journal of his suffering in his second epistle to the Corinthian church. And you'll see that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to verse 33. Paul stated that he had endured much labor, many stripes on his body, frequent encounters with jail and even death. These are the things that Paul was dealing with. Perhaps he alluded to his being stoned and left dead at Lystra, Acts 14, about which the biblical students believe he wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, when he wrote of one of who was caught up into the paradise and saw unspeakable glories. Now, what we know for certainty was that he suffered many things for the cause of his Savior. Paul was beaten with a rod. Paul was stoned. Paul was shipwrecked. And he spent a night and a day lost at sea. Now, he journeyed and encountered great perils of many sorts and experienced great depth of worries and pain. He suffered hunger and thirst and fasted often and had to deal with cold and nakedness. Moreover, in addition to the physical suffering, he experienced also emotional stress from the burden of caring for the churches. 2 Corinthians 11, verses number 28. Now, that's his suffering. Now, let's look. That's not talking about what he was persecuted for. That's just talking about his suffering, the things that he suffered. Now, let's take a look at what he was persecuted and how he was persecuted. The same Apostle Paul, he had visited both sides of Jesus' ammunition and regarding persecution of the believers, for he had both been the persecutor and also he was being persecuted. Now, Jesus warned his disciple and said, "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents, brethren, kinfolks, friends. Some of you all shall cause to be put to death, and they shall even be hated of all men for my name's sake." So I come to tell you, if you find yourself being hated among your even kinfolks and friends and brethren and being betrayed, well, Apostle Paul said that and let us know over there in the book of Luke, who Luke written that particular book, he said it in things, Luke 21, verses 16 through 17. He said about the persecution. So here we find Saul of Tarsus, as he was known prior to turning to Jesus Christ. He hated the Christian, and he went to a great effort to destroy them following his dramatic conversion to Christ, Jesus, on the road to Damascus. However, he also tasted the bitter fruit of hatred of others. He had experienced persecution from both perspectives. Now, the scripture said over in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 3, it said, "And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against that church which was at Jerusalem, and they was all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." Now, Acts 13 and 5 says, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast." Acts 14 and 19. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persecuted and persuaded the people, having stoned Paul." You got to watch who's persuading you and things. "And drew him out of the city, and supposing he had been dead." Yes, as I said, you got to watch who's persuading you and putting stuff in your head and your mind and things. You got to line up with God's will and his plan for our life, unless men will be putting things in your head and mind. What does the Bible say? What is God saying? And things, and that's where we step back as the children of God and say, Father, you know, what are you saying? This here came to my mind. This is in my thoughts. This is in my heart. Take it and filter it through by the Holy Ghost and saying, Lord, what do your words say about this? And thing, and he will give you understanding, or he will dissipate that thought and things and take and cast that thought away. He said for us to bring and cast, bring every one of our thoughts into the obedience of Christ. Amen. Now, by his own testimony, Apostle Paul humbly admitted that he was unworthy of this apostolic role in fleeing the church, for he had persecuted the church, 1 Corinthians 15:9. But Paul went on to say that he had experienced the enormous grace of God, verse 10. He seemed to be determined to exert more effort on behalf of Jesus Christ than he had exercised against him and his disciples. Jesus admonished his followers that they would experience tribulation or persecution, but he encouraged them not to fear, for he had overcome the world, John 16:33. As it was for the Apostle Paul, so it is for the brethren today. We shall suffer persecution, but our ultimate victory is secured in Jesus Christ. He said, do not pray for an easy life. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for the task to be equal to your power. Pray for the power equal to your task. Then doing your of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be a miracle. Philip Brooks written that particular piece. Now, let's look at another aspect here of Apostle Paul's journey, his religious opposition. Now, it's very interesting that much of the persecution of the early believers came from established religion. Perhaps there is no greater measure of insecurity than that which exists in the people who are insecure in their faith. Insecurity causes one to resist everything that might have his belief system. On the other hand, when a person is secured in his faith, he does not fear the challenge and demonstrated by opposing ideas or systems of thought. The proponent of Judaism so feared the new sect of individuals who followed Jesus Christ that they openly resist them and persecuted them at every opportunity. Now, John 5:15-18 said, the men departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, as the Jews continued to resist the believers following the death of Christ, there was one wise man by the name of Gamaliel who obviously was secured in his Judaism. He was a learned scholar of the law and an educator among the Jews. He counseled his fellow Jews to leave the men alone, Acts 5:34-39. He reminded them of the two other men who had arisen with vehement views that conflicted with Judaism, but their work had come to nothing. If this new way is of men, it will come to naught. Be assured them. He went on to say, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you have be found even to fight against God. Now let's look at the ambassadors in bond. Now Paul, he saw himself as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. A question posed to you, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a true ambassador, or is those just words that we speak? Now Paul, he's seen himself as a true ambassador. The fact of his arrest and imprisonment did not change his status as a representative of Christ. It only changed his field of labor and means of representation. Now, Ephesians 6:19-20 said, and as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bond, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. If only we could comprehend that our circumstances do not change our position, status, or calling in Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Rather than bemoan circumstances about which we may have absolutely no control, we should seek the direction of our master. Lord, how would you use the circumstances to direct my path as an ambassador for you? The scripture assures us that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Now, let's look further. Opportunities to minister. Now, since he viewed himself as an ambassador of Jesus, Paul went about his work from within the jail cell he occupied at various times throughout the rest of his life. He refused to see his time of incarceration as obstacle or as an end of to ministry. His circumstances simply opened new doors or opportunity for him to minister to others from the jail. Now, let's look at the Philippian jailer, Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 34. Now, Paul and Silas dramatically affected the jailer in Philippians prison where they were confined. They were thrust into the deepest part of the prison. Their feet were secured in legs and arms. The authority was able to take their freedom from them, but not the song from their heart. At midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praises to the Almighty. Not only did they cause a stir among the prisoners who heard them, but they also stirred the portals of heaven. Now, Acts 16 and 26 said, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds was loosened. Further, the jailer awoke and saw that the prison doors were open, assuming that all the prisoners had fled. He drew out his sword and prepared to take his own life, Acts 16 and 27. However, Paul called out to him not to harm himself, for all the prisoners were present. Because the jailer was so deeply moved by all the event, he inquired of Paul and Silas how he could be saved. Now, Acts 16 and 30, he was baptized that very night. Now, let's look at Felix, Festus, and Agrippa, Acts 24, verses 26. Because of his confinement, Paul had the opportunity to witness of the gospel to several prominent men. In Caesarea, Paul had the several opportunities over 2 years to share his faith with Felix, a Roman procurer of Judea. He also spoke before Festus, the successor to Felix. Finally, Festus took Paul before Agrippa, the ruler of Judea at that time. Paul gave a moving defense before Agrippa as well as the testimony of his faith in Christ. So moved was Agrippa that he confessed, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian," Acts 26 and 28. Agrippa found no guilt in Paul and would have set him free, but he had not been for Paul's appeal to Caesar. Agrippa sent Paul to Rome. Now, let's look at him when he was in Rome. We find that Paul called together the chief of the Jews together and things. And after he explained the circumstances and spoke the word of God to them, there was much discussion. When they left Paul, some believed and others did not. Apparently, because of the political sensitivity of dealing with Paul, the authorities of Rome took no immediate action regarding him. Rather, they kept him under house arrest for 2 years, during which time he was able to receive all visitors who came to him. Further, he apparently spent much of his time writing epistles to the churches. Now, let's take a look at some of those. Amen? Apostle Paul wrote at least 5 epistles from the prison: Philemon, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and 2 Timothy. He could have withdrawn into a cocoon of self-pity, feeling that both God and his fellow Christian had forsaken him. But Paul chose instead to rejoice that God had counted him worthy to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. What a difference Paul made through his anointed writing that have ministered to unfold numbers of people around the globe. Let's look at him. He also was praising God. Now, We've learned from Paul's determination to worship God in every circumstance. It was prayer and praise in the midst of the trials that led to an evangelistic opportunity in the Philippian church jail. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang unto God, and the prisoner heard them, and they kept the keeper of the prison, brought them out, and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" Now, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and were baptized, him and all of his, and straightway. We'll find that through Acts chapter 16, verses 25, all the way down through verse 25, 27, verse 30, and 33. Had Paul and Silas been marred in their own self-pity, they probably would not have had the opportunity to minister to the jailer and see him and his entire house receiving salvation. Look, pastors say, do not allow yourself to get marred down with self-pity and things. Woe me, this is only happening to me. No, it's happening to others. And you're not the only one that's in those situations or finding yourself in complex and perplexed situations and things. Or being despair and things, we must rejoice in those times as never more. How can believers today make the greatest impact on the unsaved world around them? Perhaps the three greatest actions that they could take are the three things Paul continued to do from the midst of their trial: rejoice, pray, and be thankful. 2 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 and 18 said, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, let's look at always rejoicing, another principle that we as the children of God must grab hold to. "Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous for you, it is safe." Philippians 3 and 1. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Philippians 4 and 4. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13 said, "Behold, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange things have happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy." 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13. Now, human nature causes a person to feel singled out and alone any time his experience in difficult situations and circumstances. It's natural for you to feel that nobody suffers like you do, or to consequently to believe that life is unfair. However, believers experience a new redeemed nature. They do not lose their human nature, but when they receive the Holy Ghost, the Spirit affects their human nature, empowering them to approach life with a more positive outlook and attitude. Still, it is a choice that every believer must make for themselves. To rejoice in the Lord is the best choice to choose as a believer in every circumstances of life. A child of God can experience the same problems, hurt, disappointment, sickness, and difficulty as every other human. However, when they choose to rejoice in the Lord, the believer diffuses Satan's power to use life challenges against them. And if you want to defuse the devil, start rejoicing in the Lord our God. Satan understands that his greatest power against anyone is through the person's thoughts, through your emotion, through your attitude, and consequently, he uses the normal activities of life to discourage an individual at every opportunity. When we are rejoicing in the Lord, however, Satan bombards against us and become completely impotent. There is power in praising God. Further, one also receives spiritual strength when he pray and give thanks to God in every situation. Now, let's look at that, praying and being thankful. Colossians 4 and 2 and 3 said, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving with all, praying for us that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bond." Now, Paul exhibited an attitude of prayerfulness and thankfulness. He never seemed discouraged by his suffering, but appeared to be thankful that the Lord would honor him, that he had a high privilege, for such a high privilege as to suffer. He wrote to the believers in Philippi, "But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do not count them but done, that I may win Christ and be found in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 11. Paul had made supreme, overarching objectives in his life to attain unto the resurrection of the dead, and nothing else seemed more important against the backdrop of that pursuit. Now, he wanted to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, and he was ready and willing to give his life in pursuit of that goal. Nothing else really matters. Now, let's look at the final component here as we look here and things. We have keeping the right attitude. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 said, There have no temptation taken you such as common unto man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Paul recognized that the temptation is the common thread that runs throughout all humanity. None can avoid it. However, he maintained a right attitude and a proper perspective towards his suffering. He knew that God is faithful, and with every temptation there is a means of escape and the strength to bear it until release comes. His positive attitude enabled him to keep his focus on the eternal prize without wavering in his spirit. He constantly thought positively. Philippians 4 and 8, finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Every individual encounters unpleasant and unfortunate circumstances. However, focusing on these disappointment and painful experience in life is counterproductive. To be absorbed by one's problem and focus on one's hurt always saps a person physically and spiritual strength. On the other hand, it is so empowering to think on good things, which is more edifying to the psyche of a person, to think about the things that are true or to think about the things that are false. The Apostle Paul mentioned 8 things around which a believer should focus his thinking in order to achieve positive results. And I want you to grasp these and things before we leave the air today. Number one, think on the things that are true. Number two, the things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that have a good report, any virtuous thing, anything that is praiseworthy. So start thinking about those things so that you maintain that positive mind. Thinking on these things, the kinds of things, will surely revolutionize anyone's thought pattern, and he will certainly feel better and experience better results in life. On the other hand, where one focuses on the opposite of the negative thing, they will surely begin to get depressed, gloomy, and miserable in things in their thoughts and in their mind. And finally, we must be content. Paul encountered many experiences in life, both positive and negative. However, he had learned that one of the keys to be successful living involved having the right attitude, whatever the circumstance be failed him. He had lived at time with plenty when all his needs were cared for in abundance, and at other times he lived at times where it was less than he really needed and things. Still without complaint, he learned the power of living with contentment. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And that's very key. Now let's look at the final thing, to trust God. True contentment and satisfaction comes through learning to trust God, coming to depend completely on him in every circumstances of life. He is the source of all spiritual strength and true joy in life. Paul finally concludes in that verse number 13 in Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that is so true. Only when we learn how to rely on Jesus Christ and trust his ways for our life can we truly experience the depth of satisfaction. Even though we recognize the life that Paul lived, Saul of Tarsus. He was a rebellious, very cruel persecutor of the early Christian church prior to his conversion to Jesus Christ. And following his Damascus Road experience, however, he became a new believer in Christ and destined to become Paul the Apostle, as one who had once persecuted the church. He also tasted that the same bitter cup of suffering at hand of those who persecuted him. Moreover, he discovered that the most intense persecution came from those who claimed to be religious. Now, Paul had experienced some signs of suffering, but he obviously viewed his future destination as worthy every trial and tribulation and suffering that he did. Nothing in his life really compared to the hope of eternity. Paul was arrested. He refused to become discouraged and depressed over his circumstances. Rather, he looked for ways to continue to minister from prison. And you find yourself in that place. Look at ways that you can continue to minister and reach out and touch somebody's life. His impact, and he impacted many individuals in a positive way by testifying of them of Jesus Christ. But one of the greatest means by which he dramatically influenced the world was through the epistle he wrote from jail, from prison. Paul penned a few New Testament books. Paul was determined to keep a right attitude and things in spirit, even when he was suffering for the cause of Christ. He continued to rejoice in the Lord. He prayed and gave thanks to him. Moreover, he disciplined his thoughts to focus on the positive things that edified and build up instead of the things that would tear down or discourage. So every circumstance that he faced before finally dying as a martyr for Jesus Christ, Paul learned to be content and to trust God in everything. And I pray that you on today will learn how to be content and trust God in everything that you do on today. And as you find that place in things of commitment and contentment in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is going to greatly, greatly bless you as never before. And so as I close today, I want to pray. Father, I pray, oh God, today for our listeners on today. I pray that you bless them, pray that you undergird and fortify them and strengthen them, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, and meet every one of their needs. Lord, Father, continue to keep a praise upon their lips and their hearts and mind. Father, let their minds continue to be stayed on you and giving you praise in the midst of hard tests and trials and tribulation. Father, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Let this come as a reminder of what we need to do in perplexing time. Father, we give you praise and glory and honor to the glory of the Father which is in heaven. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Truly, it has been a blessing on today to talk with you again and to come into your places of abode on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has brought back to your mind the weapon that you're losing or have not picked back up and need to pick back up is that the weapon of praise. As you continue to praise God, you're going to see the atmosphere change. You're going to see circumstances change. Even you are going to change because now you have grabbed a hold of the right mind as you're going through that which God has given you to do. And so in our closing, as we get ready to pray and close out on today, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And I pray unto you today, according to Matthew 7:7, that there will be even a no sorrow blessing that will come to your house on today and bless you and your household to the glory of the Father which is in heaven. And so until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord make you rich and add no sorrow. Be sure to tell someone to meet us here at home. God bless you until we meet again. Bye-bye.